Blog Talk Radio.
3 minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be a fiddler. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go!
Be a fiddler. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You ever know popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it. You know it. They tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, and future owner Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Giver Medine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson? Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duke the Yen. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormspecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a to listen to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Am I here too?
Pardon?
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear Kelly.
Can you hear me?
Stormy.
Oh, there's Frank.
Hello? Is anybody home?
How's it going, boys?
Hey, Storm.
Storm, time to brag.
Pardon?
Time to brag. Your first chance to brag. Your team won.
Okay, well, I'll brag.
Yee-hoo! Okay, enough.
There. How to get that out? My nephews are going, what the heck's wrong, Uncle?
What is it
Never
wrong
mind.
With Uncle? Uncle Stormy.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah, so it's good to be on.
Yeah, so, we haven't talked to you since the team won and since you had the pleasure of witnessing that victory. So tell us how it felt.
A little too nerve-wracking for my bones, but other than that, I wasn't worried about Hamilton's offense, defense. I was worried about Banks, period. That's the only guy in the whole team I was worried about, and he almost came back to kick us in the Schmidt, so... You know, but other than that, it was a good game. I liked it.
Well, as long as
I mean, of course, I liked the outcome.
Was in.
I liked the outcome, of course, but I don't know. You get people on Facebook, oh, it shouldn't have been a penalty, this and blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I'm just so sick and tired of people just, it's a loss, it's a loss. It was a penalty, it was a penalty. And I
well,
just gave
it
up
shouldn't
on
have
that.
Been a penalty.
The ball.
What?
Well, it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Come on now. Yeah. No, you don't say it as good as a Calgarian.
Hang on, let me kill a few brain cells and I'll be right back.
Yep.
Well, he's got to take a leak?
That's what depends is for, Frank.
I got to go take a Schmidt.
The show just started. You should have done that before time.
I wasn't feeling so Schmitty.
Hey, when you
I
gotta
wasn't
go, shit
Schmidt
happens.
When the show started.
You weren't full of Schmidt then? Yeah, I don't know about that.
I wasn't full of Schmidt when the show started.
Oh, great, thanks. Now you're full of Schmidt because I'm on the phone now.
Oh, yeah, I've had my full of Schmidt. Yeah, yes, I have. Well, that was, you know what? Calgary deserved the victory. They did great. They played well. They had a great year, great cap to a season that they really did dominate the whole year. They were the most consistent football team this year in the CFL, and I don't think it should be a surprise to anyone that that they won the Grey Cup. Now, many of us wish that they didn't. There are other teams who could have, you know, instead had on that dais or on that platform in BC. I know that Christopher and I could name two teams.
Yeah, but you know what? It's you know, I don't know. I just, this game was too intense for me. Like, I mean, thank God I'm still young, but I mean, like, I don't want a heart attack watching football anymore. I just don't want that. I shouldn't say anymore. I mean, it's never
happened,
but I don't
want
that.
That's what it's all about. If there can't be that kind of excitement, what's the point?
Hey, 31-3 for Calgary would have been fine with me too.
Wow.
But I did pick Calgary 31-19, so I was, you know, relatively, you know, there.
In the ballpark.
In the ballpark figure, yep. But, no, it was, you know, it wasn't a blowout like the Hamilton-Montreal game sort of thing. So it was just too intense when you cheer for a team that you love so dearly, right? It's just, ugh, drives the guy nuts. But it's done with now, and now it's done with now, and all the Stampeder stuff could be bought all I want. There we go. It's done.
Apparently it all ran out. Apparently they've run out of Grey Cup paraphernalia.
Yeah, well, they have, but I mean, you got to know where you got to go sort of thing, right? It's not who you know, it's where to go sort of thing, right? And then it's, you know, slim pickings right now, but hopefully they get more stuff in and go from there. I mean, I messaged on Facebook there. I don't really care about that shirt that the Calgary has the Grey Cup champions on it, but it says Coupe first. Like, what's Coupe? Is that cup for French or what?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't like that on there. I'm not prejudiced. I'm just saying. I just don't like it on there. Because Coupe came before.
I don't like the French on there, but I'm not prejudiced.
I'm not. I'm just being honest. I said I don't want to offend anybody on Facebook. I said I don't want to offend anybody. I just don't like the Coupe on there.
But just because you say you don't want to offend anybody doesn't mean you don't.
I mean, you're joking.
Exactly. That's why you say it in a sentence. That's why you say it in the sentence first. You say, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but this is my opinion on this subject, and that's how I say it. And that way, that sort of saves your butt, I guess, in a way.
It doesn't save your butt at all.
Well, I just don't like Coupe.
Well, first off, you have to understand that this sentence structure of the French language, knowing that Coupe, a Grey Cup, is the sentence that comes. So if they put the Grey Cup in the middle and they have a cup at the end and the Grey at the beginning, then the sentence structure is correct for both languages.
That's why they do it
that
way.
I understand that, but what I've come across and what I've noticed and what I've seen is that it's the only shirt that says Coupe on it, or I don't even know how you pronounce it.
Well, that's when it's the national championship. an underlying national.
But that's beside the point. I just, I don't know. That's just.
No, that is the point.
That is the point.
That is the point.
That
no, but I'm just
point.
Saying it's no matter what the way you look at it, Calgary still won the cup, and that's the best thing that comes out of this
you
whole thing.
Know
right?
it by listening to you. Well, that's why the
no,
frame,
that's just
right?
one thing. That's just my pet peeve. That's
out,
all.
What Christopher is pointing out is the French say, "There are my two football shoes side by each."
Yeah. Storm,
you know,
it's
the way the grammar works. It works so great. It looks great. Coupe, you know, gray cup.
Yeah, man.
Soft,
sure.
It
really
works so great.
Well, that's everybody's has their opinion, I guess.
It's not backwards.
You call me Bruce?
No, Bruce just put up a thing that says the French do everything backwards.
No, they just,
yeah, I know, but
they
not
just,
backwards. Yeah, but in English it's first.
Right, but we have two official languages in Canada. I don't know.
No,
if
I understand that. I have nothing against the French people at all. Period. I don't. I just don't like buying something that says
with French on it.
The Coupe Grey Cup.
Yeah.
Have you looked at a cereal box that you've purchased lately?
I just want to see Grey Cup. That's all I want to see. I want to see Grey Cup.
Well,
but anyways,
you'll find an official CFL shirt like that.
It's not
you'll
really. I never thought this was actually going to be a topic, but whatever. But I mean, to me, that's minor. We got the cup, the coupe, or whatever you want to call it, and that's it. Period. It's done. It's gone.
No. You're speaking on an English language show. You can refer to it solely as the Grey Cup. But
I don't
want to
offend anybody by saying that, though. That's my point, too.
No, I'm pretty sure you did. Storm, listen, Storm.
No,
the way
that's
it works
why you...
is you don't say I don't want to offend anybody because you got your foot's halfway in your mouth already when you say that.
Trust me, I know this better than anybody.
So then what? Not just say anything that's on your mind then, or what?
Yeah.
No.
Sometimes
didn't say
it's...
that. Didn't
well,
say
I know
that.
When to bite my
hey,
tongue sometimes, and I know when
it.
Not to. So.
No.
Hey,
Do you know the president in the United States
by the name of Abraham Lincoln? You guys know who he is, right? And
yeah,
he's famous
right.
for one many quotes, but one of the best ones that I have, and I've had it written on my fridge for many, many years, it's better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt.
That's one of his best sayings.
That's one of his.
Okay,
best
well
ones.
Then we'll just put my talk on rewind and we'll start over.
No! All you have to do sometimes you got to use that inside
your head voice.
You got to use that inside your head voice before your outside voice comes out. Your inside of your head voice should listen.
No,
to
I get
it.
That from my I get that from my dad, so blame him. But anyways,
yep. You know, loose lips sink ships, French and English.
One day toilet time, that's all I know.
Well, finally, Kelly.
Hey, I bought some cologne that was, it's called, I forget what it's called, but it's made by Hyundai Toilette, so there you go, so.
Very good. Yes.
There you go.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, that's the only phrase I know, and it got me in trouble while I was in Quebec.
The answer to that, Frank, is no.
A very hefty no.
Very strong no.
You know what, guys? I'll take this moment as a learning opportunity for everybody and try to make a positive out of a negative. There's a great application that you can get for your smartphone called Duolingo that will allow you to study pretty much any second language that you'd like. And I think all of us Anglophones could definitely – you know, even just spend 5 minutes a day on there or whatever, just to do a bit of our duty as we are, you know, a bilingual nation of people that don't really,
Did you say duty?
Yeah. So Duolingo, guys.
Duty,
look
I don't
it up.
Know. See, I haven't learned French for a specific reason. My wife is Quebecois, and if I don't speak French, then I don't have to talk to my mother-in-law.
There you go.
Oh, great. I brought up the wrong subject then.
That's like there's a method to my madness. Yeah, well, yeah, my wife and my mother are both Quebecois.
How could I not like the language that's referred to as francophone?
Yeah, exactly. For sure. And, you know,
I'm Frank
with
Christopher, on the phone.
Christopher, yeah. What you said reminds me of a father of an ex-girlfriend said to me, you know how I get out of doing the dishes? Well, the first time I ever did them, I did them so crappy that they never want me to do them again.
It's kind of a plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I say that to my wife all the time. She had me do the laundry once. She'll never have me do them again because it all turned into one color.
No. Your favorite color, pink.
Thankfully, I'm the only one that does the laundry in the house. Thankfully.
She doesn't even do the horse blankets?
No, I have a horse blanket laundromat in town here that does that because they have bigger washers.
Yeah, you don't want to gum up your own home laundry system.
No. I bring the doggy pillows there, too.
Well, listen, guys, thank you for surviving the technical difficulties of me not being able to get on the air. The internet has been very nasty to me. And, Michael, yes, I'll start posting the link, but unfortunately I couldn't do it before the show because I was struggling to make the show work. To answer your question that you posted so eloquently on Facebook.
That's all good, Frank. I'm on the show now. Shoot. What's up, y'all?
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Just sitting over here in good old Virginia, heading down to Alabama for Wednesday. But I'll be there tomorrow night sometime. So I'm just chilling, man. Had a long day. Hard ride, but, you know, I always get through it.
Yep.
Okay, who we all have on the line today?
Okay, if you've just joined us, we have Storm is here. Kelly's here.
Storm here.
And of so is Christopher. And you yourself, Michael Townsend, and I, Francophone.
Yeah, Chris.
Everybody
Frank,
that's
Mike,
important.
Yeah. That's right. That's what's up.
Oh,
who's
man.
Important? Who's important?
All right. Have y'all been talking any football, or y'all just been shooting the crap? Which one is it?
Yeah, we've been shooting the Schmidt. We've been shooting the Schmidt.
Yeah. Been shooting the Schmidt. All right. I got a football question real quick here. Something that I've seen on Facebook. Clarence Denmark.
Yep.
Y'all guys agree that he's one of the elite receivers in the CFL now?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you think he still has something to prove?
Who's that?
Oh, no,
who's
no.
that, Mike?
Well,
sorry, I didn't hear you.
Clarence Denmark.
Oh, Denmark. Oh, absolutely. I think top five, yes, absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
Top five?
I mean, top five of last year. I would rank him, actually, I say top five, but he would be the third or fourth for me in my eyes. Because there was a lot of good receivers last year. I mean, if you think of Mark Emmett Daniel,
Darius
Bowman, yes. Montreal Combo, SJ, and Deron. And then you have Chad Owens, yep. You know, there have been a lot of good receivers this year.
Brandon,
you know,
Arsenal.
Yep. Brandon yeah. Banks, Manny Arsenal, of course, Manny, you know. So it's a lot of good receivers, man, a lot of good, you know. So.
The Riders receivers this year just dropped off the face of the planet. I mean, everybody knows that Dressler wasn't here a full year or whatever, but even when he got here, he was non-spectacular with the exception of maybe two plays.
You know what? Speaking of the Riders, man, Kelly, I was kind of amazed that breakout year Ty Smith had, then all of a sudden he just disappeared through the whole season, even though he had his off the field problems. I mean, he really didn't do nothing this year, man. You know, I don't know.
Well,
was he injured? Had any injury? Anything like that?
I think he. Well, I know that for a fact that he was injured, but I believe that he was ready to come off the sixth game with about 3 weeks left in the season, and you know, they just for whatever reason kept him on the shelf, and I think it's because prior to that, I think it was a football decision. I don't think it had anything to do with the legal, but, you know, there's always going to be, you know, you can make a case for that kind of thing. But, you know, he just hadn't, you know, been the same receiver that he was in the back half of the previous season. He just didn't have an impact on any games that he played in. So why would you continue to go with somebody who you know what they can do for you, but they're not doing it? You got to then go with people who you haven't seen yet and you know, you want to vet them to see if you want to bring them back next year.
Right, right. Biggest disappointment to me, as far as the writers go, I thought they were going to use Chad Schillings more than what they did. I don't
For
know
sure.
if it was one of them, let's get acclimated with the CFL, then we'll bring you out slowly. But I thought he was going to be a big contributor with the Riders this year, man. It kind of surprised me that he wasn't.
For sure.
Schillings is a beast.
You know, the one thing that has been said specifically about Chaz is that he wasn't able to get up to speed with the waggle at a camp, and that's what really prevented him from playing early because at that point, I believe we had a couple guys on the shelf because at the beginning of the year we were playing guys like Ryan Smith and who is a raw rookie out of North Dakota State and Brett Swain as well was playing at that time and I think even one more guy who's not even on the roster anymore was playing so yeah you're right it's a big disappointment the way Saskatchewan managed receivers this year and. I guess Jason Tucker's on the hook for that. As far as I know, he's our receivers coach. So,
far.
Yep.
Yeah.
So far.
Apparently, a lot of people
so
are
far,
leaving.
He's made it through the purge. Yeah.
Rob Bagg was the top receiver for the Riders at 800
yards.
Yeah,
he was. Yep. And he was fairly consistent. But. Consistent to a level that was even unacceptable for Rob Bagg. He should be getting 1,000 yards. Like, I believe in my heart of hearts that he really is as effective as a Clarence Denmark. But did he have the season that Clarence Denmark had? No, not even close.
Oh, no.
Yep. But hang on, Kelly. You know, I don't know if you can lay all of this on your receivers. I mean, Getzlaff's marks were off. I mean, Dressler, although he only played part of the season, his numbers weren't spectacular. Saskatchewan plays really well when they have a very strong running game. When they have a very strong running game, then they get bigger plays with their receivers.
That's true.
And their running game this year wasn't all that good, so that did not allow them to implement their receiving game the way that they have in the past, especially the way that they did in 2013.
True.
So, you know, you can't blame the receivers so much if your offense isn't doing its job.
And that's why Durant was missed so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. I agree.
Right?
They only had whatever Durant could accomplish.
They need that running game so that Durant has the time in which to think. If he doesn't have the time in which to think to make the plays, then he doesn't make the plays.
Well, just hold on for a second, though, because although the running game was inconsistent, there were about a sample of 8 games where we had a running game, and we did establish it early and often when we did have it. I was a little bit shocked looking at the All-Star list today and seeing John White instead of Anthony Allen. Allen had more yards on the season. He also had a greater yards per carry average, and
John White really came out of nowhere with about five games to go. I mean, he wasn't even a part of the Eskimos at Labor Day.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, he was on the team, but he hadn't contributed.
Nope.
But isn't that part and parcel with what's been going on, what went on this year? Offense was suffering, and it seemed it suffered at every turn. The running game wasn't that impressive this year. You know, the quarterbacks were not that impressive this year.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
I mean, I guess
a lot of injuries, though, Frank, this year compared to other years, though.
It isn't about the injuries, though. We can't use injuries as an excuse when summarizing the way the season went. Every year, quarterbacks can get injured. You know, it just this year those injuries showed up, you know, statistically across the board.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
You know,
showed the depth of a team, or lack thereof.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
It's ironic, though, isn't it? Last year, the backups. This year, the story is there were no backups, or there was no second line of offense.
But it takes, it takes 3 to 4 years to create a quarterback.
When you lose your quarterback in
doing this, it's hard to do that, you know? You can't expect miracles out of the back end if they're not there.
No. It's not me stating or taking a position. It's just an observation that it's ironic that last year it looked like it didn't matter how many quarterbacks got hurt. It almost was good news if they got hurt. Whereas this year it was a horror story. One team after the other, starting with BC at the beginning of the year, being the expectant father waiting for the savior to arrive, hopefully halfway or eight games into the season, as you yourself defined, Christopher, and it not happening. And then one at a time, quarterbacks, you know, from the beginning of the year, just being knocked off with no. Well, Hamilton, I think, did the best in replacing their number one quarterback. You know,
they did.
But not many other teams had that luxury. Yeah, exactly. And then they waited for their number one to come back.
Mm-hmm. It was coincidental that it all just fell into place for them. Because there really wasn't a time where they weren't without one or the other.
Well, exactly. But that you said it, and it was said, depth this year. Definitively speaking, the team that won the Grey Cup proved that depth is a key factor in winning the Grey Cup and being able to have an answer for every injury. The teams that had no answer, like the Argos, ended up out of the playoffs. Ottawa never even had a chance. Winnipeg, you know, didn't have the answer when their quarterback got hurt, or when they couldn't find a running back to do what they needed to do to back, you know, the number one up. And that was the whole story this year. This year, really, it was depth. I don't know how's that going to change next year. This coming year, I should say. Now, this year.
I believe it's going to change. A lot of these guys will be looking
talent
for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. If they're going to start looking at some of these NFL rosters, talking to some of these practice rosters, quarterbacks, and some of these third stringers, give them about $50,000 more than what they're making right now, or close to what they're making, they'll come over. We got one sitting on our bench right now, man. Guy played for Boise State. Can't think of the kid's name, man. He's been with the Lions for maybe 3 years now. Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Good arm, man.
Sure.
Good arm. He's our third string quarterback. And we got Darren Orlowski as our second string, which is a dud,
yeah,
if you ask me. Kellen Moore is a CFL quarterback by far. Strong arm, to run, pocket passer. He'd be a good CFL quarterback.
He's fairly short, though, isn't he, Mike?
5'10", 6 foot. About the same height as Kevin Glenn.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just hoping, Frank, that it changes for the better because, my team, for sure, had their depth called into question many, many, many a time. And you know, I'm looking to see a market improvement in that department next year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Does anybody see Kevin Glenn signing with another CFL team, or do you think that he's all but done?
I don't think he's all but done. I think there's going to be a team out there that's going to need somebody. He's not going to come out as a starter. There's no team in the league right now that's going to pull him as their number one quarterback. But he is going to come into a team that needs a second, and it might be Winnipeg.
After what happened this year, he is going to become a good commodity, not necessarily as a starter. And, Christopher, you said it yourself. You were hoping that he could help BC be a 500 team till their quarterback came back. How many other teams next year aren't willing to go through what they went through this year without a number one, even a number one, you know, supposed quarterback, which at the very least Kevin Glenn fits in.
Yeah. Winnipeg could use him. Of all the teams right now, Winnipeg, I think it would be the best bet for Kevin Glenn.
I believe so, too.
If you look at all the quarterback situations across the league, it is Winnipeg.
Well, and also, you know, pending on what the Rough Riders decide to do with Tino, I've heard their decision will be made on him sooner than later, whether or not they're going to re-sign him for next year. So if they don't re-sign him, I'd say that bumps Saskatchewan even ahead of Winnipeg in the – because Winnipeg's got Marv, and he looked actually fairly good in preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does anybody still want Tate?
Tate would be hot.
No, thanks.
He'll go. He'll go next year. He'll go. He'll be on a different team next year. You watch.
Yeah, it's like
if BC could use him,
we go at the door.
BC could use him.
Not
it'd
interesting.
Be it'd probably be BC or Montreal, because I still don't think Montreal is sold on Crompton. I really don't think so. I mean, they might be loyal to him for what he did this year, being the so-called savior, but it won't be a long-term deal.
Yeah, I don't think so either, no.
It's so funny when you associate savior with Crompton and that hair.
And beer.
You know, it won't be a long-term deal, man. So I think you see Drew Tate either Montreal or BC.
Good call.
Well, unless Jesus is your quarterback, you're going to need a decent backup.
You really are.
I don't see Wally Buono playing that card. I just don't. He has never gone to picking up a quarterback from this league. He has always brought people along. The disadvantage that he had this year with Kevin Glenn was we really had nobody in the background. We'd lost Mike Riley. We'd lost Thomas DeMarco. And, you know, and Lule was hurt. We just didn't have any options. I really doubt that he's going to do that. He really sounds like he's betting next season on Lule again. And I'm not convinced that that's a wonderful thing. So,
you know, with Wally's reputation, I have to believe Partridge. There's something there.
And Jordan Rogers too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I don't think we've seen enough of Partridge. I think he's a bit of a secret still, and I think he's got some talent that we are going to see next year.
Yep. I think it's still out on Partridge too, man. We just haven't seen enough of him to say yeah or nay. And then again, Jordan Rogers, you're right. So, you know, they're gonna have to get these guys on active roster, man, and let these guys take some snaps and let's see what they can do. You know, and then Wally's gonna make a
decision.
Without
question, you know.
You know?
Yeah.
Possibly it's because
Frank, your mic is doing it again.
No, you're breaking up. You have to take a Schmidt or what?
Plug in, plug out.
And guy, I'm gonna tell you something too, man. Tell you something. I think SJ Green is gonna weigh his options after he finds out what Deron Carter is gonna do.
Yeah,
for sure. I think
so. Yeah. In what way do you think he's gonna weigh his options? You mean going south? because he's going to be the marquee man in Montreal.
No, CFL, not South, no.
No, I
not
mean, SJ Green could help a couple teams, you know what I'm saying, but not being the number one go-to guy. I mean, you'd be looking at a second, a third, maybe fourth receiver. But as far as his options, he might have a couple of NFL suitors. So there's a couple of teams that will fit his style of play that he could go to. But I'm thinking if De'Ron Carter goes to the NFL, which 9 times out of 10 he is, SJ Green is out of Montreal, man.
Why would he be out of Montreal? Wouldn't he be like the main man?
Yeah, I think the opposite, Mike. I agree with Chris.
I think the exact opposite.
If De'Ron goes, that clears the plate.
They're gonna have to at least give him almost $200K to stay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's gonna be saying, "Show me the money."
Yeah.
Hey, Manasseh.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, bud.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. He's gonna say, "Show me the money." You know what I'm saying?
That's for sure.
And it was If somebody come with a $20,000 more price tag on a ticket, that guy's gone.
No, Pop's not an idiot.
I mean, you got to remember they still got Kenny Stafford, and they still got Brandon London. So they're not bummed out at receiver. Cause them guys, man, they show what they can do this year, especially Kenny Stafford, man. Because I mean, at first he wouldn't even get no playing time, and they gradually acclimated him with the offense, and that guy showed out, man. So they're not bummed out on receivers. And then they still got 85 for next year. He's still on a guaranteed contract. So I mean, he's all right.
The one guy that comes to mind when we're talking receivers, and I'm wondering where he's going to land, is a guy who got released late in the season. I think it was with about 3 weeks to go from the Argos, and that's that – I can't remember what his first name is.
Oh, LaVon Brazil.
LaVon Brazil, man. Where's he going to land? He put up some great games this year. Like, he dominated in sections.
Is he going back to Indy? I thought he was only up here because I think the suspension he had, and I think he's probably going back.
Conditioning assignment. I see. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Huh. I was going to ask you, Kelly, from the writer perspective, like Brandon Tatum has a big opportunity, right? He could make the big splashy signing and get SJ Green for like $225, right, which would be a record contract, or he could do a smart move by getting Ernest Jackson from the BC Lions for maybe like 120. But he could be a guy that could end up being a star player if you put him with Durant.
Yeah, for sure. No, I would prefer the later option, as I think you would. But, I see – I don't know. Like, I'm just losing a bit of faith in Brandon lately. And me, I'm always the guy that just kind of has a bit of blind faith for my GM, whoever it is, really, because I see it as a scenario where I can't change anything anyway. So why not put all my faith in them? But I believe if he was faced with those two options, I think he would sign Green. Even though you and I know darn well that it would probably be a way better move to sign Jackson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't wager Ernest Jackson going anywhere.
Oh, you think he's going to resign?
Oh, he'll resign with BC. I think he'll do it very soon.
Wow.
Well, they have a lot of guys there, though, and he's, if not for injury, isn't he odd man out? I believe Courtney Taylor
will come back
as the incumbent. Yeah,
Courtney Taylor, Ernest Jackson, Manny. We also lost Brian Burnham.
Ian Nutzi,
he's the odd man out. He's only there because
he's a starter.
He's
a Canadian. Yeah, he's a starter.
Sean,
he didn't start
Sean
most
Gore
of the season.
No,
Gore,
I know, but in
Canadian.
Their scheme, they start a Canadian receiver, and he's the guy. Isn't he?
Well, Sean Gore's the guy.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, there it is.
But
there's five guys we mentioned that play ahead of Ernest Jackson until
Kelly
he was called
upon
and
year.
Made a splash.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Not in the first
and
half.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you get called upon? You go out there and you earn yourself a position. So Ernest Jackson won himself an earning starting position this year, no question about it. I think he's going to stay in the stable.
Courtney Taylor is available.
Right. And you got to think financially, too. Like, you got to fit that in your cap, right? You
can't keep them all.
Yeah, exactly. And I just feel like the Riders could they're probably going to, you know, replace Taj Smith with Jackson or Green, one of the two. But they have that they had a spot open plus the money. It makes sense. If I'm him, if I'm Jackson, I'd go to the Riders, because you go there, his name, his profile, he'll get on a lot. You know, everyone will know who he is by the end of the year. Versus staying in BC, he's basically an unknown, no matter how good he plays. So
he was the number one receiver last year for the BC Lions. How would he be an unknown?
Well, unknown in the sense
I'm just curious.
Like, okay, if a guy goes, like, I was on Saskatchewan radio and I was talking the same thing with Green, and I felt like SJ Green should be the face of the CFL. The guy's the most talented player in this league, hands down. It's not even close. But because he's in Montreal, he doesn't get the attention he deserves. If he were in Saskatchewan, he'd be the superstar of the CFL. Like, he'd be the most talked about guy, without a doubt. So I feel like any guy who goes to Saskatchewan and succeeds, you become the face of the CFL and you have name recognition like crazy. And your brand gets built up and people know who you are and you get endorsements. It's the place to go if you want to be a star in the CFL. You know, places like BC, Toronto, Montreal.
You could be a gopher in Saskatchewan and they'd be proud of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It's just the way Saskatchewan is, right? It's no matter who they bring in, they're going to cheer for who cares who comes in as long as they win. That's their thing in Saskatchewan,
well, I mean,
and it always will be.
You know, if I'm going to just argue on Manasseh's
I don't want
park
SG
here,
Green to go to Saskatchewan. I'll tell you that right now. I don't want that to happen. No.
Well, what I'm saying is we have another game in town. It's hockey, and not every guy that comes to play for the Regina Pats becomes an instant star just because he's playing in Saskatchewan. I mean, the Rough Riders are this league's marketing gurus, and like Manasseh said, the best opportunities outside of football exist in this province for CFL players. So
I understand that totally.
Yeah.
That'd be a smart move for Taman to sign SJ Green, man. I mean, just imagine what you're going to get off of jersey sales alone.
Yeah.
Man.
Guaranteed.
Come on,
that's what I was thinking.
I'm getting that jersey for real. Can you imagine with the green on the back? It's a deal. It's a done deal.
Right. For real.
Come on now. We look good in the St. Peter's outfit. Come on now.
They got too much talent.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Imagine if they signed John White from Edmonton and S.J. Green.
Green and White.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because Ty Smith.
And have them
sitting
beside each other on the bench at your marketing.
Right.
Yeah. You know they're going to have them do commercials and stuff and all that. Man, there's so many opportunities in Saskatchewan. I feel bad for CFL players that never get to play there because it's like playing on an NFL team, right, if you're in Saskatchewan.
You know, guys, and Manasseh, you're so right, and I'm so glad that you actually, like, have this feeling from where you live and everything, and you know so much about it. It just goes to show that you do listen to the call-in shows and everything, and that you've been doing this for quite a while, because, you're right. Like, you know, you look at Don Narcisse, and it's no wonder that he's done well in this community years after he retired. He's still, you know, a can't-miss kind of guy around town. Well, even guys like Quinn Magnuson, who some of you guys have never heard of before, QMags on Twitter, you know, he was not much of a player, but this guy enjoys so much success because he stayed in the community that he played in, and you know, his life is better as a result of having played for the Riders, and I really don't think you could say the same if he played for the Eskimos or Calgary. These centers are too large, and they get lost in the fishbowl, whereas here it's just all them.
Well, I wouldn't say they're all lost, but I understand your point.
Yeah,
I understand your point, because there's only a select a few people around the league that – you know what, I don't care how much money you give me, I'm staying where I'm playing, and that's it. And they stick to their guns, and they stay with their team and their community, all that kind of stuff, and that's good. I'd love to see that. That's the way it should be with every player, but unfortunately it doesn't happen that way.
I guess you guys don't realize that here in Mississauga, just where I live, I've got in a 5-mile radius, I've got about 3-4 dozen ex-CFL players living here.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who they are there. You know what I'm saying?
That's, yeah, that's like who's Matt Dunnigan? Who's Matt Damon?
I don't know.
Who's Damon Allen? Who's Damon Allen?
I would bet there's people in that area who don't know who they are. Who would walk right past them and have no idea who that is.
Well, I didn't think that was the point. I didn't think that was the point. I thought the point was that players can play in Saskatchewan and then make a life afterwards. I thought that was the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Frank, you know, think about it from a different perspective, and no disrespect here at all.
Why do I have to think about it from a different perspective? I just made the point that we have the same situation here in Toronto where former players, Pinball Clemens. I mean,
no,
we're talking
no,
about
I
a
don't
guy.
I don't think that you're not making the same point. I mean, you're talking about people who are staying.
What the heck was that? Not taking his finger off the button.
And that was your 2-minute drill.
Wow. What the hell was that?
That was a toy.
I don't know what that was.
That's Christopher.
That's his microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just turned it off. No, I just gave an opinion. I don't think I have to justify my opinion. My opinion is that what Kelly said sounded like players enjoy staying in Saskatchewan after their careers, and they also derive a bit of success and an ability to, make a life for themselves after football. I thought that was the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and what I was saying, Frank, is it's like no other here, and you're trying to contend that, and that's fine. It is your opinion.
No. It's not like Saskatchewan, just like it's not here. I mean, here we've got former CFL players that literally are coaching many teams in this community. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They retire. They find a place to work. They derive some sort of employment. And then they give back to their community. That's the way it works here. I don't know what it's like in Saskatchewan. Here, the players actually give back to the community. They're not as worried about it. There's a two-way relationship here. I guess that's how it's different with Saskatchewan. In Saskatchewan, the players can take whatever they want because they're lucky that Saskatchewan has so much to give. Here, the players feel obligated, I guess, in their own hearts to put back and give back. That's
right.
What I like about the guys that are here.
Yeah, but Frank, I disagree with that a little bit because you know what, being a Calgary fan and stuff like that, I mean, they give a lot to their community, different players, Cornish, the list goes on, right? And
are you saying your players do the same
thing? It happens in every single city that people give back.
Did I?
There's just not enough people that do it.
Did I say it didn't happen in Calgary? Did I say it didn't
happen
in
Calgary? No, I'm just saying it happens in every team. Every team it happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm talking about the experience that I have here with the players that are here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you
don't disagree. You agree for your city that it's the same there.
I believe it's the same. I can't give you a number, but I mean, I believe it's.
Yeah,
no,
and I don't doubt it. You're missing my point. I don't doubt it. This is not something. You know, the uniqueness of Saskatchewan is only because if you're in Saskatchewan, you can't see beyond Saskatchewan. That's the difference between being in Saskatchewan and being in Ontario. We're it's hammered home here that other places exist here.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
And
no
in Calgary,
way.
I think you've got the
exact opposite way, Frank. I mean, Saskatchewan people are very, very, very well educated about other places, and
I never said educated. I never said educated.
Well,
I said tuned in to the rest of the country.
We are very tuned in.
Well,
but you were unaware
that in Toronto and in Mississauga out here where I am, just where I am, and in Saskatchewan, just like in Saskatchewan, all across southern Ontario, there are former players. And gosh, let's go back to Hamilton, and you may find. The same is true there. I know that there's a lot of high school teachers
Frank,
that are former CFL players.
Per, per, per capita. I mean, Southern Ontario, you're talking about a region with like 10 million people in it. I mean, per capita, Saskatchewan has five times the amount of players that stick around and make
names for themselves. I'm not saying that it dwarfs Saskatchewan. Again, I repeat, you're not looking past Saskatchewan. You're only looking. You're navel gazing. You're navel gazing. It happens everywhere. CFL players, Frank, listen, man.
Don't try to make my point for me. What I'm saying is that people here really, really, really want players to stay and make a name for themselves. That doesn't exist where you are. It's not the same. And, you know, you can call it whatever you want.
But how do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I live here. How do you know it's not true?
Because I live here.
No, Frank, I know how it is down there. I mean, you don't have to look too far to see, you know, how CFL fans are in Southern Ontario as compared to how they are here and how CFL players are in your community.
I didn't think we were talking about, you're expanding the conversation now to make your point. Get back to where you were and where this conversation was to begin with, where players, former players in the CFL, have an opportunity in the communities. I'm saying every community in the CFL gives the opportunity to their players to have a place to call their home. Once they come here, they stay here. Many of them stay here. Not all of them. I'm not saying that there's the exact same, experience. Because I don't know what the experience is in Saskatchewan. I know what the experience is here.
Because there was an article this year about Weston Dressler and about...
Tutoring
him as a player. And what happened? The Italian Star Deli, the most popular restaurant in the CFL on Victoria Avenue in Regina, named a sandwich for the guy and told him he had an unlimited supply of sandwiches as long as he came and signed for the Cup Rider.
I'm not saying that Ontario is better than Saskatchewan. You can be better. It's okay. It's okay. You can be better. I'm just saying don't underestimate. Look beyond Saskatchewan's borders and realize that, what, he's gone now. Just realize that the CFL has a lot to offer, and the communities that make up the CFL have a lot to offer to the players more than what happens in between the white lines. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying which has more to offer or which has less to offer.
Oh,
is it okay?
Come
on
with it. Oh.
Wow, that got quiet.
Yeah, no, Now, Kelly,
am I here?
Yeah, you're here. I wasn't suggesting.
Okay, I'm just trying to get my mic working here. Sorry. Can I interject for a second on what you're saying here? And I think there's a difference between these two cities. In Saskatchewan, it's the town that wants the players to stay. And in Toronto, it's the players that want to stay in the town. You've got TSN, you've got Sportsnet, you've got CFL, you've got all of the big things, big name draws that are keeping the people in Toronto area for them to try to make a life there. They're there looking for something, where in Regina, it's the city that's looking to keep the players.
It's totally opposite. No, it's not the opposite. It's a different level of the same thing.
Yep.
It's not the opposite.
You didn't listen to what I just said. If you honestly believe that, you didn't listen to what I just said.
No. I'm not buying what you said the way you said it. I'm buying what you're trying to say. I'm just not buying the way you said it. That's all. Every city, look. You want to change the argument? We can change the discussion. I want to even use the word argument. Saskatchewan loves their team and loves their players. The Saskatchewan way, whatever that happens to be. I'm not here to tell anyone what it is. I don't know. I'm not in Saskatchewan. But every city in the CFL wraps their arms around their players, whether you like to admit it or not. Every city has something to offer. you know, Montreal. I mean, AC is talking about going back to Montreal. They want him back, you know. This isn't about Toronto or Saskatchewan. This is about the CFL, and this is what I thought the conversation was. We were talking about how people, players, feel welcome in the communities that they play in enough so that they want to hang around. That's all.
Yep.
You guys are overcomplicating it. You're overcomplicating it. The specific experience that is in Saskatchewan is Saskatchewan's experience. In Ontario, we do it differently. I didn't say we did it the same. I didn't say we did it better. I just said players come here, they stay here, they end up coaching, they end up being a part of our community. Yes, before he ended up out, my phone isn't working here. Look, I'm having problems with the internet here. I'm trying to concentrate on fixing stuff, and then have to take broadside shots is kind of hard, like that negative kind of stuff. I was just giving an opinion, so you know, it wasn't necessary. I wasn't right and I wasn't wrong. So, Mike, what do you know about football players in Detroit? Do they hang around and live there?
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. I'm not going to say his
name.
That's all. But I have a friend that played for the Green Bay Packers, and his brother played for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And when his mom used to come to Canada to the games, she couldn't wait to get away from over there because it's too dang on cold. But, you know, everybody didn't like Saskatchewan. They went for the money. He played 1 year, and he bailed out. He wanted to go back to the NFL. So, everybody's different.
A football game. Manasseh's watching a football game while he's on the show. That's what that
means.
I mean, you muted my mic like 3 times. I don't know what was going on.
Everybody's
got
their different taste on different cities. And, you know. A lot of football players stay in Detroit, but football is not where it is, you know, where we're from. It's more like the basketball players that that play NBA and come back to the city and give back, like Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose from Detroit, inner city kid, Detroit Southwestern, went to Michigan, played in the NBA for years, came back to Detroit, give to the inner city. Built a free charter school for the inner city kids because he had to go miles and miles away to go to school. So he built the school in the city for kids to go to. I mean, out of his own pocket. He gives back to Detroit. I mean, you know, if you watch him on his ESPN,
Grand Line
podcast. He always shouts out Detroit, man. He's like one of the most favorite guys from the Detroit area. Chris Webber, don't nobody talk about Chris Webber. He's a nobody. You mentioned Jalen Rose, your eyes light up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know, but listen, when it comes to athletes, a lot of them stay where they end up. Like we've got a lot of Canadians that have children that are now playing for the American team in the U.S. Why? In hockey. Why? Because they decided to stay in the U.S. They decided to stay close to where they played hockey. Athletes are, you know, don't underestimate it doesn't matter how big a city it is and what small percentage of people. Like the point that Kelly's making, I get what he's trying to say, that it's a smaller community and it grabs them a little more, you know, with every hand, right? But you don't need to have every hand slapping you on the back. As long as there's enough hands slapping you on the back, it feels good. Who cares if it's only... You know, 200 people are slapping you on the back, and there's 2 million that don't. It don't matter. And if it's in Saskatchewan and 200 people are slapping you on the back and there's only 300 people, I know what he's trying to say, but it still doesn't take away from the enjoyment of being where you play.
No, it don't. It happens in all your cities. It happens in every last one of your cities. The people love to keep the players there, you know, open the businesses, work. You know, it happens everywhere.
And there's no doubt that being in Saskatchewan that it's going to be that much more intense for the guys. Absolutely.
Right.
But you know, it isn't about something or nothing. You know what I mean? It's just different levels of love and affection. That's all.
Nobody said anything about something or nothing, Frank. Nobody was shitting on Toronto.
Sure, okay? Sounded like
we
it
just
to
said
me.
That the. Well, that's because you didn't listen to what Kelly said. He was telling you that the draw for that city is different than the draw for the rest of the country. And that's what he was saying.
I don't disagree with that. I didn't say it was wrong. I said there was that's Kelly's phone. I said that there was never mind. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. Excuse me for saying.
Yeah,
you know, Christopher. No. Here, Christopher. Let me put it this way to you. I'm sorry for saying something nice about Toronto and their fans and their community when it comes to football. Does that make you feel better? Does that make you feel better? Does that make you feel better?
I swear to God, Frank, you be taking stuff way too personal sometimes, man.
Really?
Yeah,
way too
dude.
Personal.
Really, man. Like, we keep ending up in these situations because you be taking it like we're taking a shot at you. Oh, we're not saying anything, man. We just said, never mind. We don't even need to make a fight out of this, honestly.
No. Okay.
Well, what
did I say about Toronto? Listen, you know what? Shut it down. Goodbye, guys.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's go somewhere else with this.